Praise the Lord, everyone. I thank God we could be here. Let me put my mic on so everyone could hear me. Praise the Lord. We are One of Messiah congregation, of course, and that's Kahal Chad B'Mashiach. One day I'll teach you how to say that. But we are One of Messiah congregation, and that's the most important thing, the people to understand that no matter who you are, where you are, no matter what nationality you are, we're all one in Messiah. So let's ask the Lord to bless this Sabbath reading and see what the Lord has for us this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this Sabbath day. Lord and God, we pray, Lord and God, that you'll bless and anoint this reading today. I pray you'll bless and anoint everyone with us, like it says. And all the people that are not with us today, Lord, let them hear your voice. Let them hear your trumpet. Lord and God, let them be prepared. Lord and God, afflicting their souls with examining themselves, so one day we could tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. We just thank and praise you for the seventh month of God. Bless and anoint everything that's done. Bless the reading. Lord and God, bless everything that's accomplished today. Let people's hearts, Lord and God, be refreshed, strengthen people's hearts, increase our faith. Draw us nearer to you, Lord, while Satan is trying to pull us away from you. Draw us nearer. Put a wall of fire around and about us. We just thank and praise you, Lord and God, for these words and your Sabbath that reminds us every week of one day in the future on the seventh month. Lord and God, we shall hear the sound of the trumpet. Bless and anoint this day. We give you the praise and the thanks in the mighty name of the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord today for everything. This has been an interesting week. I just wanted to touch on a few things that in the newspapers and different magazines I've been reading. I don't know if anyone keeps up with some articles. I don't really keep track of too many things. Of course, this week has been a very horrible thing for schools. Principal got shot to death a few days ago, which is very horrible. And this other man killed himself and a young lady, 16. It's almost unthinkable because this young girl got up in the morning to go to school, not knowing that would be the end of her life. You know, there's such a horrible world we live in. Why all of a sudden? It's almost like when something happens with a school, then it happens with another school, then it happens with another school. And it's almost like, I don't know if it's just a spirit that bounces around, you know, people's minds. So don't be too interested to get away from the flock, that's all I could say. The Lord says, try to stick with the people of God because you never know who out there, when you least expect it. You could be minding your business and you could be gone. So it's good to know, the Lord says to walk circumspectly, know who's round and about you, make sure you keep your eyes open, make sure you watch people with bags and things and people that drop stuff off and walk away, make sure you're alert.
Actually, I had that situation.
Well, you've had that situation with you. We'll like to hear about that later. It's very important. It's very, we're living in a day and an hour where you got to watch out for packages. Anyway, another thing I was reading this week, it's astounding. It'll probably never be in the mainstream news, but the Pentagon admits that, believe it or not, they admit that they read in the Quran that this is where these suicide bombings come from. And they read all this information that anyone should know. You know, you feel like going, hello. You feel like saying, did you wake up? I mean, you don't need a genius to read this. I mean, you know, you just go look at the Quran and you read some of the Arab books and there's some of their things. Yeah, they don't like us and they want to wipe us out. So anyway, that's just a silly, to me, that was a, you know, it's just one some of the news that you should know. However, it never reaches mainstream for some reason. It's always in these papers that are on the internet. I don't know, maybe we try to get the word out. Even here in this place where we live, Tennessee, there's been different findings of bombs and different things of people. I don't know if you keep up with that, even in Tennessee. So don't think that, you know, any state is very secure because, you know, these people are everywhere. Anyway, on to a little more cheerful news. I just thank the Lord. I was talking to a man last week. He's from a major denomination. They have their own university and everything. And I don't want to get into which denomination is, but I'll be meeting with him on Tuesday. And he's a younger guy. He's probably like in his, maybe in his 30s or something like that. He's a pastor. And he got all excited when I was telling him about the Feast of the Lord. And, you know, I was telling him, you know, I hit him right up front. I said, who was the new covenant given to? Because, you know, I knew what he was going to say. He goes, oh, the Christians. I said, no, where does it say that? He goes, he looked at me serious. I go, come on, you know the Bible. I know you do. Because it was the particular religion that reads the Bible. And I said, come on, now, what does it say in Jeremiah that, come on, that Paul, he goes, oh, it was given to Israel. I said, that's right. I said, so did you join the Israel of God? And of course, there was a silence, because he never thought of those kind of things. You know, most Christians don't think of those things. So I hope everyone prays along this Tuesday. You know, maybe the Lord open the door, and they got a whole big, giant congregation, and we might meet all kinds of people. And they also have a whole university of all kinds of people. And you never know what the Lord can open a door. The Lord could move on this. I mean, you know, the Lord could open a door. You never know what it might turn into, you know. But anyway, let's see. Praise the Lord. I just want to give little updates on these few things. And also in the last couple of weeks, and also specifically this last week, I always hear these people preaching, you know, preaching the Word of God, and they always got a message. And it's some of these people that are on Pal Talk and some of these people that have congregations, different states. And I was listening to the way they speak. They come with this tone, and I was trying to, you know, I was trying to just listen with non-biased, you know, opinion. But they come with this tone like, now you people, no one knew this information. No one out there ever heard of this before. And they come with this sort of yelling, this voice that almost makes me, you know, wonder what's on their mind. And they always have this information that nobody else on the planet ever knew, and nobody else ever figured it out, but they have the new book to tell you all about it. And it's all about me, and I got it. Yeah. And I was listening to these two different people that I know a lot of people listen to on Pow Talk, and their messages is all about how God gave them something and nobody else knew about it. I mean, it's just a mystery to everyone. So when I hear these kind of messages, I sort of get, you know, I just say, God, you know, what happened to the humbleness? What happened to, you're not the only one that God gives the message to? I mean, you know, who do you think you are? I mean, some of these people, I think, they think a little more highly of themselves than what they should think. So anyway, these are kind of, I'm just giving you a little understanding of some of the things I go through during the week and the people I meet and the personalities I come in contact with. And, you know, it's just, you know, come on. Can't we? We're all in this together. No one's better than anyone else. We're all people of the Lord, and we try to, you know, but if the Lord gives you something, you should be thanking the Lord, and you shouldn't be making a book out of it and selling it. If God gives you a revelation, you shouldn't be making a DVD and saying, for $25, I'll send you a copy. I never heard any prophet do that before. Anybody know any prophet that said, how much did Isaiah charge? How about Ezekiel? Didn't Ezekiel have a website that says, click here for the basket? How many you want to put in the basket? Yeah. So anyway, when I hear people selling revelations or prophecies of God, I always wonder, are they really of God? Somebody of God would never do that. It's a scary thing. If God gives you a message, if God gave me a message, I'd be frightened to just go, I want to go get it to you. The last thing in my mind would be charging you. It's like,
that's not going to
say. Right.
Angelo,
yeah.
Call my people and then charge them $50.
Yes. Thou shalt get more money. But anyway, the prophecies in the Bible, the Lord will reveal it to you too if you pray and seek the Lord and fast. And it's not like, I don't know about any prophets today. I haven't seen any. Anyway, our congregation, we are one of Messiah congregation, and we're a messianic congregation and more. If I had my druthers, we would have a real physical yeshiva. Right now we're a virtual yeshiva, which means a place of study, a community of people who desire truth. And we are a synagogue for Jews and Gentiles who found the Messiah or who are looking for the Messiah. You know, today's September 30th, of course, but of course it's the sixth day in Eighth Anim, the seventh month of God. A lot of people still don't know that because they're calling it Tishri, okay? And of course, this is what we're doing this week because we're getting very close to the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And we're trying to let people understand, do they know about the four holy days of the Lord? And of course, we did the memorial, the Zichron Teruah last week, the memorial of blowing the trumpets. The Day of Atonement is coming in a few days. We're doing it on Tuesday night, it starts to us, and all day Wednesday. And of course, the Feast of Tabernacles are coming, 5 days after that. So, these are all shadows, we believe, of the second coming of Messiah. That's what we believe. And this is exactly what we're doing. So if you're in Tennessee, join us. We'll be here at our congregation at 12 o'clock. We'll be here from 12 to 4:35. So please join us. If you're on Pow Talk Tuesday night, we'll be on at sundown. So try to join us, because you really can't do nothing else. It is a Sabbath. Now, I know you've heard me say this a lot, but I'm going to be saying it a lot until these feasts are over, that this thing we do every week, this thing called the Sabbath, Exodus 31:13, we're speaking unto the children of Israel and saying, God says, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, if it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be surely be put to death. Whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. That's such a scary verses, isn't it? So 6 days may work be done. You have 6 days to go work your little brains out. But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. I can just imagine, like the Day of Atonement is such a holy day. It says it distinctly. Anyone who does any work on that day is totally going to be, in God's mind, put to death. And this is, today we don't kill anybody, but if you do meet the Lord on that day, and you never know, you might go out when you least expect it. Yeah, spiritual death means it never ends. It's a scary thing. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant.
Forever.
Right. It's forever. It's a perpetual. It's a covenant. A covenant means an agreement that you made with God that you're going to keep this Sabbath as a sign. And what is it? And we know now this sign is starting to get a little more clear, because this seventh month has a lot to do with it too. And also the trumpets and you better be atoned if you want a tabernacle with the Lord one day. God says it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I always see that every time I read the Bible, I always see the same numbers. They're always popping up. On the seventh day, the Sabbath, was the third blessing in the Scripture. I don't know if you know it. You ever count the blessings in the Bible? But God actually blessed the Sabbath. It was the third blessing on the seventh day. I thought that was pretty interesting when I was reading that. The number three is very significant in the Bible. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. First, he blessed on the fifth day, he blessed like the whales and all the creatures and the animals. And then, of course, the sixth day, he blessed man and everybody. And then the seventh day, he blessed the seventh day. And, of course, what we're doing is the seventh month is very significant to God. And, of course, you know about that by now, I hope. The memorial blowing the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. We personally have this understanding that this is a possibility to us, possibly when Yeshua was born. We know that for a fact. We know for a fact that he wasn't born in December 25th. And also, this possibly might be a time when the Messiah returns. So with that in mind, we should be proclaiming, and we should be, this word proclaiming also, I found out, means preaching. It's not just, it's preaching the gospel. That's what it is, proclaim it. So this Jubilee on the Day of Atonement, which is coming in a few days, and we find it in Leviticus 25:8, thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. See that? The 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, this Jubilee. The trumpet of the Jubilee is going to sound. It says, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land? And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim this whole thing about proclaiming liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. Ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. So this proclaiming liberty, this is a beautiful thing, because we've seen this happen also in the Bible. A jubilee shall be 50 years shall be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of the jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Amen. So we see that this year of jubilee is very important. And of course, we get it right here. We just read this, the year of jubilee, Leviticus 25:9, okay? And of course, 10 is very important. It's the same thing we just read. I wanted to put it, it's in red actually, even though I just read it, that that you're supposed to proclaim liberty, and it's very important, okay? And you shall, and this is the same thing we just read. It's the very important. So in other words, on this feast of the Day of Atonement, before this happens, you should proclaim it. You should let people know what's going on. It says that. And then at the same time, it also says it in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast in the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim it in all their cities and in Jerusalem. Okay? So here these guys, they found written in the book, and they, you know, Nehemiah and Ezra, and then they went and told everybody, hey, look what it says here. We're supposed to be building these booths. And they said, go forth unto the mountain, fetch olive branches and pine branches, myrtle branches, palm trees, palm branches, palm, it says branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So we see this proclaiming liberty on definitely these two holy days of God, the Day of Atonement and also the Tabernacles. Definitely go out and tell people and let people know, and you never know who's going to wake up. You know, but at the same time, this proclaiming liberty, it was a forecast in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, the Messiah. This is the plurality of God right there. The Spirit, the Lord God, is upon the Messiah, because the Lord had anointed the Messiah to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent the Messiah to bind up the brokenhearted. And here it is again. It's proclaiming liberty is also preaching the gospel, letting people know they could be free from sin. It would be their day of jubilee too, if they can just get out of Satan's clutches. Proclaiming liberty, I would say try to do this on a daily basis. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And you should be proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. When you tell people the gospel, that's exactly what you're doing, because it's like life, it's fresh waters. You're giving them beauty for ashes, you're giving them the oil of joy for mourning. People are they don't realize it, but their souls are mourning out there. That you're giving them garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, a lot of people have weights on them, and the Lord says he'll lift these weights off of you. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, this prophecy is about 500 years before the Messiah shows up, but at the same time, here comes the Messiah, and Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue, guess what? Just like we do, on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Maybe one day we'll have people get up and read some passages, you know? And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet, like we just read, Isaiah. I mean, he's actually fulfilling this right in their eyes. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me, the Messiah, to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's telling them that he's the Messiah. He said to preach deliverance. This is what we're doing, this preaching liberty. You're preaching deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blinds. All these people are blind spiritually too. You're trying to wake them up. And to set at liberty those that are bruised. And what you should be doing is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Messiah closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. Notice there's a minister. And he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he is the one that, he is the Jubilee. He is the one that brings liberty. He's the one that sets the captive free. And he's the one that opens the eyes. He's the one that, you know, delivers you. Now, the anti-missionaries, they always try to cloud this issue here. And they try to say that Luke changed the scriptures. Of course he didn't. Yeshua just happens to be the word. And he's quoting the word in depths of God. And he says right here in Luke, he came to Nazareth when he had where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So I just want to read this twice so you get this. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, people try to say this is not quoted verbatim from Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, Isaiah doesn't say that. That New Testament is, that Luke is wrong. That's because they don't understand the rest of this. And he began to say, he told them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And here's what people don't see. If you don't read Hebrew, you can't see this actually, which is sort of a sad thing to me, because in Hebrew it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. See where it says, the opening of the prison to them that are bound? In the Hebrew, it's pakach koach. Pakach koach. And when you read that in Hebrew, it's actually what it's actually saying. I'm going to show you. Go up, please. And the rest of that is to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And the rest of this, you know, what I'm trying to get at, this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the joy of the oil of joy for mourning, the beauty for ashes. And you're going to be, I hope that we all want to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's nothing about our praise, okay? Now, if you go to any kind of Hebrew lexicon, this pakach in Hebrew means to open, especially the eyes. Even though it doesn't say that in the English Isaiah text, you know, when you translate it in English, it says, if you go back to the Isaiah text, if we go back to that real quick, it says the opening of the prison, because then some people say, well, where's it say? See, that's a mistake. It's the opening of the eyes. Well, if you go to Luke, the reason why it's being quoted in Luke as opening the eyes is because the Messiah knows the true meaning of pakach koach, and that literally means not only the opening of the prison, yeah, they're in prison because they're in spiritual prison because they're spiritually blind, and it's opening of the eyes. See, but it's hard to, you can't see that in English. So, you know, somebody might try to stump you with that. So try to make sure you always have this little handout, okay? And maybe if you could, if you read this, this pakach means opening of the eyes wide, okay? That's what we're trying to do. Believe it or not, when you preach the good news to people, this gospel, the message, you are literally, and which is spiritually, you're trying to open those eyes spiritually so they could see. We want everyone to see the joyful deliverance of the Messiah and proclaim liberty to them. We want to preach deliverance. I mean, that's important. So it's very important to preach the word. And you got to be always instant in season and out of season. And we're supposed to reprove. You're supposed to rebuke. And you're supposed to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering means that it doesn't mean you just give a 1, 2, 3 and they're out of there and you get rid of them. No, it's long suffering. And the Lord showed me a long time ago, I think I told you guys, but a long time ago, I used to be real, you know, short with people. Just 1, 2, 3, they didn't get it. Okay, next. No. The Lord showed me that, wait a minute, you, I'm the one who cuts people off. You just keep going telling them, okay? I mean, I'm sure Noah got bored after 100 years telling everyone to get on the ark. Could you imagine for 100 years telling somebody to do something? I mean, you know, to me that would, but he kept doing it because God said do it. So you don't give everyone their final papers and tell them to leave. God does that, okay? Don't anyone try to do that. But we're supposed to preach the word. We sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and you have to always be ready, especially now with the feast of the Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to every man or woman that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you, and do it with meekness and fear. Not like these people today on Pow Talk. They're yelling at you. They're the ones that got the revelation and mystery. Everyone else is in the dark. No, no. God's word is available to everyone, okay? And God doesn't do all these things in a secret. So make sure you do this. Always be ready if somebody says to you, well, I seen your sign out there, the feast of the Lord. What is that? Make sure you're ready. Make sure you have the answer. Make sure you got it together. I mean, you know what I mean? In other words, when you know something, then you can tell somebody, you can actually recite it. I mean, if you just read something and memorize like a parrot, some people don't understand what they're reading. The comprehension is lost. But when you really understand something, then you can actually tell somebody, this is it, without having a paper in front of you. You know, and believe it or not, your little seeds here and your little word here and the one over there in the park and one over there in the supermarket and one little word over here, you might think, oh, boy, I did nothing. You don't know what that little seed, a seed grows into sometimes the biggest things. So you don't know what's going to happen. This like right here. You know, I was reading this. I only put this little passage down because I know the word of the Lord gets out even when you don't even know it. You might think you've done nothing, but somebody else heard it. And I'll show you something. In Joshua chapter 2, Joshua the son of Nun sent unto Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, they come men in hither tonight of the children of Israel searching out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And, you know, this guy was up to something. But the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. She's not going to give them away. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. In other words, she's actually sending them on a wild goose chase. So that'd be like somebody coming in and saying, where is all these people in your congregation? We want them right now. We're going to lock them up. So I wouldn't tell them that you're here. I would just say, oh, go look over the mountain. Go down the block. Go over the hill. In other words, I'm not lying to them. I'm just telling them to get lost, basically. Go look in the Texas or something. In other words, I didn't say they were there. I'm just telling them to go over there. In other words, I didn't really answer their question, basically. I'm telling them something totally different. And what she did was she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now here's the part I'm trying to get to. And before they all were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, this is when you witness when you don't know maybe these people are, you don't know who heard what about anything of God. You might think, oh man, that person never heard about the feast of the Lord. You don't know what they heard in the past. You don't know what they seen on TV. You don't know what book that came across their eyes. You don't know about nothing. So maybe, you know, everyone waters, but God gives the increase. So somebody puts the seed, somebody comes and waters it. That water goes through all your whole life. Sometimes people's whole lives, people are watering that seed and we're hoping that it's going to grow one day, you know. So be one of the people that water. You know, that's what Apostle Paul says. And it says right here, listen what she says. For she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land. She knew this. Isn't that amazing? They don't have internet. They don't have radios. But the word gets out. The word of the Lord gets out, believe me. And it says that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Wow. It says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. I mean, there was no newspapers at that time. Red Sea dried up, you know, headlines. You know, there's no such, you know what I'm trying to say? The word of God says he will accomplish what he wants to. So if you just go do what he says, you say a few words, you never know who's going to hear it. Just like these people. And the word of the Lord somehow got to them.
That's also we have heard.
Yeah.
She was the only one.
No,
the only one
they all heard it. That's what I'm trying to get at. My point is, because the word of the Lord got out, these people heard it, they acted on it, they hid the spies, and the, you know, the rest of the story in Joshua, right? But if you don't ever do nothing, you might say, well, the people in the other state next to me, they're never going to hear the word of the Lord. We have, of course, a giant advantage today, of course, with newspapers, advertising. I mean, you really don't have an excuse. If everyone should be getting some kind of word out. Every day, tell somebody something, anything. Just tell them anything. Hey, you know, tell them something. There's a better way. You know, yeah, the Lord changed my life. How about you? Or, you know, because everyone's looking for something, even though they don't sometimes show you that. Everyone is looking for something. Anyway, these people right here, they actually heard about the waters of the Red Sea, and when you came out of Egypt, what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. So they heard the fame of the Lord. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters. She cared for her family. She's not trying to escape her family. She's trying to save them. You know, she's trying to help them. It says, and that you may save alive my father, my mother, brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, and the men answered, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord had given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this whole thing, you know, it's so important to get the word out, no matter what you do, by word or by anyone's watching you, your body movements, your body language. People check you out if you're a godly person, or who are you? You know, with the world and their whole, I guess, promotion today of everybody's trying to be sexy, that's not in the Bible. All that does is promote lust and promote sin, promotes rape, promotes killing, promotes a lot of things, actually. But we want to show people the wonderful works of God. In Zechariah 8:23, it does say, the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. I'll even take hold of the skirt. This is the Hanaf. And this is of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you if we have heard. These people heard too, that God is with you. You know, I was looking at this word, Hanaf. I'll show you something as we go on here. In the book of Malachi, it says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. If you notice that word right there, it isn't S-O-N, it's S-U-N. Yeah, God is like the sun. You know the sun that gives life? You know the sun in the sky? Yeah, he's like, without that sun, no one would be alive today, right? Right, that he is the sun that nourishes us spiritually and gives us life. He is the Son of Righteousness, that's S-U-N. That's also in Hebrew, by the way. He's going to arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Believe it or not, that word wings there is also chanaf. So these wings, the extremity, the outer reaches of a garment, the outer reaches of a bird. It's all that. It's the edge. It's the extremity, specifically of a bird or a wing. It's like a wing, or you could read everything I have here. Okay. It's like a feather, it's a skirt, it's all this. This word hanaf is everywhere, okay? So these guys right up here are going to be, right up there, they're going to be grabbing the skirt of this guy that's a Jew for some reason, and it's not a, you know, and here it is, the wings. But over here we see, if we go up a little bit, we read all these already, let's see.
Skirt.
Yes, this is the skirt right here, the hanaf, and then over here, it's the wings, right? So it's always the outer portion of either a bird or a feather or the bottom pieces of something that people are going to grab hold of. And it's very, to me, it was very interesting because we go up a little further. We see in the book of Numbers, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments. I mean, he could have stuck the fringe somewhere else, but for some reason he stuck it in the border of their garments throughout their generations. Isn't that amazing? It's supposed to be just like the other word, other commands, and the Lord says he speaks unto them throughout their generations, that they may put fringe upon the border, a ribbon of blue, and there shall be unto you a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may seek not after your own heart and after your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. And believe it or not, in this scripture too, we have, I know you can't read Hebrew, but it says, V'nachnu al tzitzit, the tzitzit is the fringe, ha-kanaf. So there it is again. Hakanaf, patil, telechet, and that's the color blue. It's like a blue. It's going to be like a ribbon of blue, but it's the kanaf. It's, there it is again. So we got the wings, we got the skirt, got the. It's even the fringe here. It's going to be on the end of the, at the end of the garment. This tzitzit's going to come out. And to me, it's pretty interesting. In Deuteronomy, of course, it says the same thing. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself. You know, nowadays, unfortunately, we're in this place called America. We have no four borders or four quarters, or everyone's got these garments on here. So myself personally, I ordered some tzitzit the other day, and I got some sets coming in. I ordered three sets. I'm personally going to wear them myself. Amen. Because I want to want people to see it on me. And I'm going to look at it, and when I look at it, I will also physically, even though I do remember the commandments to do them, I will also physically see it, but I also know people are going to come up to me and say, what is that? And I know it's going to open doors because I've talked to different people. But I see Jesus right here arose in Matthew 9:19 and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came unto him and touched the hem of his garment. Okay? Now, of course, a lady with a disease 12 years, she couldn't, obviously, she couldn't be in the camp. That's unclean, you know. So, but she had boldness, and she was a lady of faith, you know. That's what it's all about. And she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. She just thought if she could just touch him, and I'm sure she came crawling, and I guess the first thing when you come crawling, you know, she went and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus turned about and said unto, and when he saw her, Jesus turned him and about and said, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So I see that this lady's faith, you know, lady that was diseased outside the camp, and she just comes, I would suspect she didn't come in there like walking, you know, she probably came like, you know, crawling, and she grabbed the hem of his garment, and believe it or not, in the Greek, this word, I don't know how to say it, kraspedon, is that good enough? Okay, whatever it is, it actually means a margin, that is specifically a fringe or a tassel. It actually means the border, it's the hem. You know when you have a hem on something, it starts fraying, it's the fringe? Check that out. And then I checked in this other lexicon. It's the extremity or prominent point of a thing. It's the edge, the skirt, the margin, the fringe of a garment. And, you know, you see it right here. It's this twisted wool. It's a tassel. It says the Jews had such appendages attached to their mantles to remind them of the law. So this is actually in the Greek, that this fringe was something that a Jew that wanted people to know that I'm a person that keeps the commandments, and they had this on. And God told them to do it, so also they would remember it for their own sake, and also forever, I guess, whoever else was looking at them. But you do it for your own sake, really, because you look upon the fringe that we just read, and when you remember, you see the fringe, I doubt you're going to be lusting after anybody. I doubt you're going to be stealing. I doubt you're going to be doing anything wrong, because now you have a physical reminder. Some people need that. So if you need that, I sort of enjoy it. I think it's going to be a good thing. Anyway, I just thought I'd pass that along to you. On the third day, we are blessed again by the Messiah's resurrection. Remember the third blessing we read earlier? The third blessing was the blessed the seventh day. But over here on the third, the number three again, the Lord raises from the dead, right? So we see that it's the Messiah's resurrection. And that says, Shlosha Yamim u Shlosha Leilot. So that's 3 days and three nights. Okay, this is another whole thing I want. Just wanted to put in there because we're remembering today the number seven, the number three. We're remembering the Feast of the Lord. We're remembering the Sabbath. We're remembering deliverance. We're remembering proclaiming liberty. And these are all little things I wanted to put in everybody today, I hope. Of course, the story of Jonah is right there. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We all know that's the place where you go when people say, well, where does it say Messiah was going to be in the, you know, gone for 3 days and three nights? That whole book is, you know, it's a very spiritual book. One day we'll go through it. But if you go to Matthew 12:39, he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There's no sign going to be given to it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. I mean, here's Jesus quoting, because Jesus doesn't have a, as people call it, a New Testament. He's quoting the prophet Jonah. Jonah. Jonah means dove. And it says, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Now he's calling it a whale. When in the, over there they called it a fish. Anyway, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's very important. Now, you know that little fringe that I'm going to be wearing, and the fringe God told you to wear in Numbers and Deuteronomy? I see another opposite of the fringe in the world, a lot of scriptures, but I just put this down. In Matthew, it says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, right? And there shall no sign be given unto the sign of Jonas the prophet, and he left them and departed. That word wicked right there, you know, when you look it up, if you look it up in the dictionary or Old English or anything, the primary sense is to wind and turn, or to depart, to fall away. And if you look it up in these dictionaries that have like a little more of an etymology context, that will have word comes from which word, which comes from which word, it went from wicked to wick, I was looking up. And a wick, obviously, is a cord or stand loosely woven, a twisted or braided fibers. So what I'm seeing is God has his tzitzit, that you remember the commands to do them, but the wicked are, they have a twisted fringe, so to speak, or a twisted adulterous doctrines that are opposite of God, that teach you to break the commandments. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, it's such a unique thing to find. So this word wicked and wick, the word wicked comes from a wick, which is a twisted fibers, which is, I was just, my mind was just sort of playing on this, thinking about it. Here's the wicked with the wick, that's everything's twisted. You know how like false doctrines are, they twist away from the Word of God, and everything is polluted. And it is adulterous because a false doctrine leads you into spiritual adultery, and it takes you away from the truth of the Word, takes you away from God who says he's married to you, and then Satan's trying to get you to marry somebody else, bring you onto a false husband or, you know. So this is an interesting little concept to think about.
It draws up fuel to the flame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't read that part. Let's go back to that. I didn't read the rest of that. Yeah. This wicked, it draws up fuel to the flame. Right. But how do you say that? Capillary action. So we don't want to be that. I don't want to have that fringe. I think I like the other fringe that makes you remember the commandments to do them. This one's telling you to go play the harlot and go unto another husband. In other words, a false doctrine. That's wicked. Anyway, this whole thing about proclaiming deliverance, proclaiming liberty, you might say, well, this all sounds wonderful here on this big speech on the Sabbath, but you need to do this when you leave here too. And everyone can do it in a different, at a different level. You know, you could tell your friends at school, she could tell somebody else, you can tell somebody you meet, whoever you meet during the day, during the week, tell them something, make a stand. You know, it's very important when you make a stand. When you make a stand, believe it or not, people, they end up respecting you, and they know you're not just some flaco that they can push over. But when you make a stand, say, hey, wait a minute, that's stealing, or that's lying, or wait a minute, that's not right. People actually like that. They might, and then after a while, they'll start respecting you and they treat you better. But if you just do anything they want, they think you're just another pushover, you're just another nothing. They can just get over on you anytime. So I always say this message, and God says the same thing, of course, it's where I got it from. Be rich in good works. Preach the word. So you think to yourself, well, last week, did you preach the word to somebody? Did you say something to somebody? And I thank God for our little signs we put up today outside. I hope a lot of people are looking at them. I wish I could look out the window and see. It makes me excited. You guys, by the way, helped congregation here bought the signs, and also the congregation. I thank God for the congregation. We also bought the ad that we have in the Christian magazine today. That's going to hit. It's going to be in 5,000 copies or more. It's going to be on the internet around the world, and it's going to hit 100 churches. They have a stack going to 100 churches, which I hope that, you know, the Lord will bring over there. Somebody will go over there. The ad is actually visible where they could see. It's big enough where it's a quarter page. So they're going to see, did you know about the Feast of the Lord? And I want everyone to go, what? And call this number, you know, call now, you know. I can't wait to see it. I don't know if it came out yet, but it's supposed to be out Friday. And today is a Friday, right? Anyway, we'll check that out later. Anyway, this whole thing about being rich in good works, and here we have Revelations chapter 2, verse 23. Of course, you never hear this about Jesus or Yeshua. He says, I'll kill her children with death, and all the world shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. Oh, excuse me. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And this is the very important thing. This is why you want to monitor yourself on a daily basis, because he's going to give every one of you according to your works. It's not according to anyone else's works. You can't say, well, that sister over there has been praying. I'm really happy she's praying a lot. Well, what about you? You can't say, well, that one over there is witnessing a lot. Well, what about you? Because it's going to be according to your works. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and all the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Isn't that a bummer? Some people think when you're dead, it's over. You fizz out. Over here it says the dead are going to be judged. Did you catch that? In other words, they didn't burn out, and they're not fizzed out, and they didn't. It says the dead are going to be judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The dead are going to be judged according to their works. Think about that. They're not just finished. They're going to have eternal life, except it doesn't sound too good right here. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the dead, death and hell delivered up the dead. Death and hell. There's that word hell. Death and hell. That shows you hell isn't the final place. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. See, hell is a holding place. I know the churches teach that that's heaven and hell. There's heaven. There's hell, which is a holding place, and then hell is going to deliver up the dead, which was in them, and then they're going to be judged, every man according to their works. Yes, there's also the lake of fire. Death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Pretty scary, isn't it? And the nations were angry in Revelations. The nations are angry. Isn't that amazing? That's Revelations 11:18. And thy wrath is come. Oh, it's not his love is come? I thought his, you know, what happened to his love? His wrath has come, and the time of the dead. Oh, we were taught the dead are finished. No, it's the time of the dead that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give, this is for the people that have works. Oh, he's going to give reward unto thy servant, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So you want to be those that get this reward. There is a reward if you do something for God. Your labor is not in vain. And, of course, the book of James goes into this whole thing about preaching and proclaiming and making sure you do something for God. And especially, you know, especially now because it's the feast, but it should be every day with the same feeling. Speak, it says, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Here's this liberty that when you proclaim liberty to people, they're set free from sin. And it is a law of liberty because it sets you free from the clutches of Satan. And you leave this world of sin, the old man. It's the law of liberty. And he shall be judged without mercy that had showed no mercy. Oh, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So you want to have mercy on people. And you don't want to just get rid of them and snuff them out. You want to, oh, well, I'll talk to you another day. Maybe I'll see you next time. Always try to leave that door open a little bit. Don't let it slam on you. You know, or don't be so mad. You have to prove it to them right now. Try to, you don't get it right now. We'll come back tomorrow. Next week, I'll see you. Take it easy. Have a nice day and leave the door open a little bit. Don't make it where it's like, you know, have mercy, because mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Ooh. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you do nothing, if you sit in your house all day long and you have all the faith in the world, that's not going to save you, because you're doing nothing. You can't just sit there, I'm saved from the world. I got faith. That's ridiculous. It says, can faith save him? No, of course not. This is very wrong. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, nice to see you, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you don't even give them, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Right? If somebody says that, oh man, I'm your brother and sister, and I just need, my tire's broken, or my things are falling apart, or, you know, and you just go, praise the Lord, it's good to see you. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, so what does that profit, right? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Faith without works is dead, being alone. A man can say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It's Brother James here. I like that. Thou believest there's one God? Do you believe there's one God? Yeah. Thou, you do well. Did you know that the devils believe and they tremble? They're trembling, believe me. The devils really know who God is, probably more than a lot of us. They're probably really frightened, because they know they're spiritual. They know what they're going to be forever. It says, but what thou, O vain man, you're vain. Did you know that? We're vain. That means we're just dust. The faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? In other words, he didn't, even though he was doing something that sounded like it was against the Torah, bringing his son to go get sacrificed on Mount Moriah there, and he still went with works. In other words, he went. And of course, when you do that, God comes right into seeds right there, right at that point when you think there's no hope and you don't see any hope, and all of a sudden, God comes right in there and makes a move.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's the way. So Abraham had that faith, you know. It says, seest thou how faith with his works and by works was faith made perfect? Of course. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, what was he called? He's a friend of God. That's all I want to be, a friend of God. That's my credentials. Yes, on my door, friend of God. That's all I need. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. He couldn't just go, well, God, I don't have to do that because I believe you anyway, you know, and just sit there and just, I don't know. No, he went through the motions because God told him to do it. Likewise also was not Rahab, we read earlier, remember her? She heard the fame thereof. Somebody boasted about this God who, you know, destroyed Pharaoh in the Red Sea and all these kings. And these people all heard it, and here's Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. So she actually used her faith because she believed that this God that she heard about, he's able to deliver me and my family, and if we just make a stand. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Okay, moving right along. In Titus, Apostle Paul is saying, this is a faithful saying, these things are, I will that thou affirm constantly. You have to affirm these constantly, even though it's very hard to do it constantly, that they which have believed in God might be, you're careful to maintain good works. You got to be careful to maintain good works. You know, sometimes you have maintenance on your car and your house. Make sure, you know how you clean your house and you clean your car and you clean your office and whatever you clean, you're really, you know, meticulous and diligent. Well, you better be a little more maintaining good works for God, because you're going to be judged according to your works. God isn't going to say, well, you really cleaned the desk off really good there. You know, he's not going to say, you guys really vacuumed the living room well. No, that's not what he's going to say. I mean, you have to do that, of course. But where's your works for God? Did you proclaim anything? Did you try to set it at liberty? It's almost like you're a jailer and you have the keys. In other words, you have the antidote for the poison. Are you going around trying to apply the antidote? Are you trying to unlock the doors? You're trying to proclaim liberty. I have the way. I know the answer. I know the door. The door. Jesus says, I'm the door. You have to go in through him. But if you don't do that, you can't, that's the works he's talking about. Even everything else is we do in life is for our belly and for our roof over our head, which you got to do, of course. The Bible says, don't be slothful servants. Don't be slothful. Make sure you do what's right. But at the same time, make sure you're rich. Make sure you're multi-billionaire for God in rich in good works. Make sure your spiritual bank account is got the big, balance there. That's what you want. And you got to do this. You got to be careful to do this, and it has to be constantly. Let us also learn to maintain good works for necessity uses. So it's a kind of thing that it's a learning process. You learn it a little bit at a time that, oh, I forgot today. Oh, I forgot last. Oh, I didn't maintain nothing. I didn't do nothing today. How'd that day slip by me? What? Well, if you're doing something, if you're affirming constantly and you're maintaining good works, like I do my computer stuff every day. I maintain it. Make sure it's not going off, going on. Make sure. So I do that, but I also make sure my spiritual stuff is maintained. And I'm trying to like now set appointments with people at least one or two a week, trying to get somebody on the hook. Trying to get them on the fishing pole because we're still fishermen. Remember those guys that they were fishermen? Well, the Lord says, "I'll make you fisher of men." So I still want to hook them, That's what it's all about. And I want to proclaim liberty. I happen to have the keys, and the Messiah is the key. He's the key of David, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that love right there isn't, it's not talking about smooching. And it's talking about love means to keep the commandments. And then maybe God will give you a real mate. God might give you a real husband or wife if you do what he says. And see, if God gives you one, then you got a good one. Yeah. So James says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works. Did you know your conversation is also works? So when you finish a conversation with somebody, sit back and reevaluate. That was my works. How did I do there? Did I snuff them out? Did I step on them? I shed some light? I'm going to call them back next week. What did I do? Because this is your works. Show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and meekness of wisdom. Are you meek? Or you want to be, I know the truth and I got the answers. No, you're supposed to be meek. You got to say, wait a minute, I didn't know one day either. And my little head was thick. It took a while to get in there. So give everyone a break. That's important. 1 Peter says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. So we have to have our conversation because we're no longer the Gentiles of the world. We have to have our conversation when you go out there, honest among them. Even though they speak against you as evildoers, they may buy your good works. So you got to, when you go out there and you go shopping and you go wherever you go, and all these people are out there, if you go to school, a lot of people don't know the Lord. Let your conversation be honest among them, that they may see your good works and glorify, and says, which they shall behold. In other words, it's something they're actually going to see. They're going to say, wow, that guy's different than the rest of us. Oh, that girl's different. Wow. You'll get somebody of quality if you make a stand. If you don't make a stand, you get nothing. You get nothing. But anyway, it says, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And if Revelation says, 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Could you imagine God telling you to write? Just that one word would shock me. Just one word, write. Oh, he said, write to me. I'd be like, yeah. Blessed are the dead. See, these dead aren't, they're not finished forever. A lot of people think when you're dead, you're dead. No, 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 no. This says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Amen. That's what I want to die in the Lord. Don't you want to die in the Lord? Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And if you do a lot of stuff for God, we pray that our works follow us. It says that their works do follow them. So when you're gone, and if the Lord tarries, make sure that you left some type of, something that someone's still going to benefit down the road in life. You don't want to just, when you're just gone, it's over. No, you want your works to follow you. You know, that's important. Jesus, of course, Yeshua said, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you know, this is what we're doing, of course, with the Feast of the Lord. We're proclaiming liberty. We're setting the captives free, I hope. You got to understand that you are the only one that has the antidote, maybe for your family and for your relatives and the people that you're around. You might be the only light. Did you know that? You might be the only light amongst the people you're with. You're special, if you only could digest that. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. So you're supposed to let your light shine where? In the back room? No. You're supposed to let it shine before men. Let people see you. Hi, I'm a person of God. Check my fringe. You know. Oh, ask me about that. You know, tell me. I talked to someone today, this week. I talked to this one brother. He said that wearing his tzitzit, the fringe, is the biggest thing he's ever did to open doors of conversations. Everyone says, well, what's that? What is that? And he goes, oh, come here, I'll tell you. And it opens a door, but you know, it's fantastic. And it also, it's a great thing. It's wonderful. So we want to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. In other words, you have to be before people, right? So they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You understand that? You can't be hiding in the back room or just, if I just stayed in my house all day, how's my light shining? How's this happening? How's it shining before men? No, I make sure I go out there and the men see me and the women too. I make sure they all see me. And so they glorify who? Not me. So they glorify my Father, which is in heaven. They say, man, that guy we see all the time, he is different. He's a different guy. Luke 11:33, no man, when he lighted a candle, put it in a secret place. Could you imagine that? Lighting a candle, put it in the secret. Like if I lit a candle and put it behind here, what good is that? He doesn't put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. That they which come in may see the light. We are the light of the world. See, Yeshua said when he was on the earth, he's the light of the world. And as long as he's in the world, he is the light of the world. He's not here at the moment. He's here spiritually. So now we're the light of the world. God always intended that for the children of Israel, for the people of God. They're supposed to be the kings and the priests, a holy nation, peculiar people. He wants you to be different. Separate. He don't want you to look like everybody else, because if you just look like everybody else, nobody will even know.
A royal priesthood.
A royal priesthood. Oh, boy. A holy nation. Oh, boy. Oh, so we don't want to hide ourselves away. We want to be right in everybody's face. Hi, did you hear about the Lord? You know, did you hear about the feast? Did you know about something? Did you... Da-da-da. You know, you don't want to be... That's where you're supposed to be. Matthew 24:14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in to who? Just the people? No, it's to all the world for a witness unto all nations. And when this happens, then shall the end come. And he says it twice. That was Matthew and then also in the book of Mark. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Don't worry about what nationality they are. Right? So this whole thing about proclaiming liberty that we're doing now is also preaching the gospel. We're letting people know about the, the information about the second coming of the Messiah. The seventh month is a strong possibility of the birth of Messiah, Yeshua. This is what we believe. And we can show you that, you know, this is something that one day we can go over, we'll go over this as the Feast of Tabernacles comes. It's interesting to note that the Feast of Tabernacles was a feast on the ingathering of the harvest. You know, I don't know if you read the Torah portion last night. It's a hazinu, in other words, hear, hashemayim, hear, you know, give ear to the heavens. And it was all about this, the Torah portion is very important because God gave the covenant, you know, to the people there, and he said also to the people that are not with us today. So this covenant was all, it's also people in the future, not only the people that were there. Same thing with the Sabbath is a sign. The same thing with, make sure you understand the seventh is, the number seven is important. The number three is important. You know, so that we see this ingathering in Exodus 23 and 34. If Yeshua's first coming was indeed, let's say we hypothetically say it was the 15th of Ethanim, the seventh month, the first day of Tabernacles, it's quite reasonable to presume that the harvest of this earth, the ingathering of the second coming of Messiah, Yeshua, will also occur precisely on the same date. What I'm trying to talk about is, in other words, if the spring holy days of the Lord, if they were just right on the money, he did exactly what they said. He is the Passover. He died on a V14. Everyone should know this by heart. He died on a V14. He's put in the sepulcher before the Sabbath. The next day, then there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? A couple days after that is the Bikurim, the Feast of First Fruits. He raises from the dead. And then 50 days from the resurrection is the what? 50 days from the resurrection? Pentecost, right. Feast of Weeks, where the Torah was given and the Holy Spirit was given. Everyone should know these little... You don't have to know exact verses for this, but you should know the sequence of the events because Messiah fulfilled every one of them in the spring. So why wouldn't he be doing the fall ones right on time too? Okay? So we see right here that this is what we believe, and we can go over this website later. If you go to my website, onemessiah.net/birth.htm, we'll go over the whole thing later because we believe it's this month. The unknown factor is, you know, what year this will happen. And of course, I put that little smiley face there because nobody knows really the day or the hour, but we could predict about when it is, you know. So the thoughts presented in this website and other people's websites along this line, you know, they are strong possibilities of the birth of Messiah, okay? So we know, but I got to make sure, everybody should know this by now. No one knows exactly, but it is very feasible to consider, okay? We know for sure it is not December 25th, okay? Well, anyway, Shabbat Shalom, and I want to end the study here. So make sure that you proclaim the Feast of the Lord. Make sure you proclaim salvation. When Messiah came to earth, he actually brought salvation. He brought deliverance. He set the captives free. He opened the blind eyes. He is our Jubilee, and one day there will be a tremendous Jubilee, of course, in someone's lifetime. I would love to be there, but if I go ahead of you, make sure you fight that Antichrist. I'd like to be there, actually, but whatever the Lord wills, we'll see. Time is going on and on, but sometimes it feels like time never ends, does it? But one day time will be no more. So do everything you can today for the Lord, because tomorrow might not come for you. Be rich in good works today. Did you check your spiritual bank account lately? Make sure you check your spiritual bank account. What is your balance? What does it look like? Are you low, medium, or are you just like rich with good works for God? Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you, and we'll open the room and hope you have a nice Sabbath today. And I pray that the Lord blesses the food that we eat today for the nourishment of our bodies. Amen. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom.